I'm not sure if the humor of the topic, the way it was formulated on the sign, was appreciated by everybody. Because in many books on leadership, there are three options. They tell people who are involved in a project, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Because many times you have people, they don't want to be leaders, they don't want to be followers, they just want to be in the way and prevent anybody else from accomplishing anything. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. So, in Judaism, getting out of the way is not an option. We have to be both leaders and followers. And today we're going to talk about leadership. Leadership as producers and leadership as consumers. You have to be a leader as a producer because you have to lead yourselves. We used to think, the leaders are out there. I'm not a leader. Every person is and has to be a leader on some level. You have to enable your intellect, your neshama, your seichel, to lead your goof, your physicality. Without proper leadership, you're going to always follow your instincts, follow your physicality. And you have to learn how to have your intellect and your value system be the leader in your life. You are going to be leaders of your families. You have to lead your children. So you have to be a producer of leadership. Before we even get to the Klal Yisrael, the national agenda of leadership. But you also have to be consumers of leadership. Because at the end of the day, if you are part of a tzibur, part of a community, where you're not the leader of the community, so you have to play a role. You have to choose your leaders wisely. You have to know, whom do you want to follow? What leaders should you be following? What qualities does Judaism teach us leaders have to have? As opposed to, unfortunately, a lot of misconceptions about leadership in the secular, political, social world. So you have to be part of a community. And you have to make sure that the leaders you choose to follow are worthy. There are two opposing forces in the human being when we talk about a culture of leadership. On the one hand, we are resistant to leadership because it compromises our autonomy. It compromises our sense of independence. There is the phrase, whether it's overtly stated or the Yetzer Hara is covertly egging you on, nobody's going to tell me what to do. So that means you don't want to be led. You want autonomy. You're going to decide. So that's a contradiction to being a consumer of leadership. And on the other hand, we're lazy. And therefore, a lot of times we want somebody else to just tell me what to do. It's in a social setting, in a political setting, where we don't really have, we're not that well informed, and just, you know, go with the flow. In religion, it's very common that we don't want to think too much, so just let the rabbi tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. So both of these forces are in and of themselves negative. And in fact, when you put the two of them together, and frequently people put them together, on the one hand, we demand personal autonomy. And on the other hand, we're not ready to pay the price to know how to make proper decisions. So we don't want to let anybody tell us what to do, except when we don't want to think about it and just tell me what to do. So what is positive? What is the positive combination of these two forces? What does it look like? So here we get to one of the most important concepts of leadership, as a leader, if you are a leader, and we all have responsibilities to be leaders on some level, and as a consumer, when you look to choose your leaders, personal responsibility. You have to take responsibility, and leaders have to take responsibility. On the other hand, you have to be ready to forego your autonomy and let others make proper decisions so that you can be part of a whole, part of a tzibur, part of a mission. So the leader has to have a sense of mission. The leader has to have a vision for the future. That's leadership. And when you play a leadership role, whether it's in your families or in a community setting, you have to know where you're going. You have to have a mission. You have to have a vision of what you're trying to accomplish. So when you forego your autonomy to be part of a tzibur, there has to be a mission. There has to be a reason why you're doing that. So, this week's Parsha, and that's why I talk about it in this week's Parsha, has the preeminent leader, the quintessential leader of the Jewish people, the model of Jewish leadership, Moshe Rabbeinu, turning to God and saying, I'm not going to be the leader anymore. You now have to choose a new leader. So I want to explore some of our sources that tell us what the real qualities of a Jewish leader are. And they're not necessarily the things that we look to in the secular political world for leadership. The first one that comes to mind whenever I ask what is important for leadership is the one thing that we don't find in Judaism. And that's charisma. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have charisma. He was a kvat peh. He stuttered. Let's see what Moshe Rabbeinu did have. So, we'll start with a medrash that is in the beginning of Parsha Shmos. It talks about Moshe Rabbeinu, but it also has a common denominator between Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech. And the Medrash says that there were two great people, Shnei Gedolei Olam, that God tested them before He empowered them to be leaders. Those two people were Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech, and the test was the same for both of them. The test was to be tested as a shepherd for a flock of sheep. Bodak David Bitson, and he looked, how does David HaMelech take care of the flock? And it says that David HaMelech was holchin lemidbar laharchik min hagezel. He took the sheep to the desert to distance them from thievery, that they shouldn't graze in somebody else's greenery. Ve'af Moshe hayaro etzon. Moshe also was a shepherd of Yitro's tzon, and he also took them into the desert. And what does God say when he saw that? Nimtzeitam ne'eman al hatzon. You were honest. You were reliable with sheep. Ani emsor l'chatzoni. I will now give over my sheep. Of course, my sheep to God is the Jewish people. You were honest. You were reliable. So the first thing we see from here is that the leader has to have integrity. Make sure that you are honest. We're going to see that coming back again a little later. Then there was another aspect. Another very, very fascinating story with Moshe Rabbeinu, almost something you would not imagine when you think about our kind of leadership. So Moshe was tending the flock of Yitro, says the Medrash, and Borach Mimenu Gedi. A little sheep ran away, and Moshe ran after it. Right? Until he found that the sheep is in the shade drinking water. So Moshe comes and says, Ani lo aiti odea sheratz hayita mipnei tzama. I didn't realize that you were running away from the flock because you were so thirsty. And because you were tired. Ayefata, you must be tired. Here, kivo al ketefo. He put the sheep on his shoulders, v'yamahalech, and he carried the sheep back to the flock. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says God, yesh lecha rachamim, linhog tzono shel basar v'dam, you have mercy, you have so much caring for the sheep of a human being. Chayecha, I swear to you, atatir etzoni Yisrael, you're going to be the shepherd of my people. If this is how you behave with the sheep of another person, imagine, I can now trust you to behave with the sheep of the Almighty. And that was one of the reasons why Moshe was promoted to be the leader. Caring for the people. The leader has to have real, honest caring. Too often we find leaders who implement the joke. I heard it in the name of Woody Allen. I think he got it from somebody earlier than him. The most important thing in a relationship is to be authentic. And if you have trouble doing it, fake it. Too many times the leader claims to care, but his caring is a fake. So we need real caring. That's an absolute requirement for leadership. Now let's look at another couple of psukim when we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Chazal had a problem, and their resolution gives us some tremendous insights into the qualities of Moshe and what we need. So Moshe was born early. He was hidden in the river. The daughter of Paro found him. Miriam comes and says, he didn't want a nurse. I have a wet nurse for you. And he was given over to his mother. Then it says, Vayigdal hayeled vativiyehu lebat Paro. After the baby grew up, he was brought to the daughter of Paro. Vayila levein vatikra Moshe. Okay. So we have that in, that's Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud. The next Pasuk, remember we just said, Vayigdal hayeled vativiyehu. The next Pasuk says, Vayhi bayamim ahem vayigdal Moshe. Vayetze el ochav vayar besivlosav. The next Pasuk says, Moshe grew up. So, say Chazal, wait a minute, he grew up already. Why do we have twice that he grew up? So says Rashi, the continuation of the Pasuk is, Vayar, Vayetze el Echov, Vayar besivlo tam. Says Rashi, Natane navilibo, Liot meitzar alehen. He gave his eyes and his heart to be pained with them. Says the Medrash, Hayaroe besivlo tam uboche, he used to cry, Chavali alechem, miitein moti alechem. He felt for them. I wish that I was. I'm so pained for what's happening. And he lowered his shoulder and he helped every Jew carry the burden. So there are a few lessons here. It says vayar besivlotam. It says vayetze el echav vayar besivlotam. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the palace. He was insulated from what was going on with the Jewish people. But it says that he went out and he actively gave his heart and his eyes. He had to work to feel what they're feeling. And Rav Volpe talks about this as nose ba'ol im chavero. Thank you. Moshe Rabbeinu was insulated. But he proactively went he joined the Jewish people, he connected with the Jewish people, he really cared. And then it says and that's Vayigdal Moshe the second time. Right, he was already Vayigdal. That this is a bigger growth because, what does it mean Vayigdal? He became a Gadol. So, when we think about Gadol and Katan, right? I mean, a Katan is a minor child. A Gadol is an adult, but we have other conceptions of gadol. We have gadol hador, right? What makes something gadol? So Chazal define a katan as somebody who is somech al shulchan acherim. He's dependent on others. He's not independent. He is dependent. He is reactive. That's a katan. What's a gadol? A gadol is independent. A gadol goes outside of himself. He goes beyond his limitations. That's a gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was in a situation. But Vayigdal, he went out of his comfort zone, if you will. He went out of his environment. And he seeked out the pain of the Jewish people. And then the last line, Revolbi has an unbelievable insight. U'misayeya l'kol echad ve'echad. Moshe Rabbeinu was helping every Jew schlep the burden. Says Revolbi, let's make a mathematical calculation. If there's a couple of hundreds of thousands of Jews who were working in Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to help everyone carry and schlep the burden. Even if he spent 1 minute with each guy helping him, there wouldn't be enough time. Says Revolbi, Moshe Rabbeinu felt the pain of his Jewish brothers. And the Jewish brothers felt that Moshe Rabbeinu is feeling our pain. That made it a little easier to carry the burden. The leader has to care, and the leader and the people who he's leading have to know that he really cares. No lip service. Real caring, because when they know that he cares, it makes it easier for them to carry their own burden. True, honest, caring, and connection with the people. So the famous joke, semi-joke, it's not such a joke, in the Jewish, Hasidish, Litvish world. When a Hasidish Rebbe gets up and gives a drasha, a shmooze, every person in that audience thinks that the Hasidish Rebbe is talking to him personally. And when a Mashgiach and a Yeshiva gets up and gives a shmooze like I'm doing now, everybody thinks that the Mashgiach is talking to the other guy. Why? What's the difference? The Hasidish Rebbe, with the warmth of every chassid, feels connected. If he's connected, he's talking to me. And Rosh Hashiva, the Litvish Rosh Hashiva, is a little bit disconnected, so he's talking to the other guy. So the real leader has to be connected, and the people have to feel connected. That's hard work, to really be connected to all the people. Let's take another aspect of leadership that also happens with Moshe Rabbeinu. So God and Moshe Rabbeinu are negotiating. God wants him to go to lead the Jewish people out. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, take somebody else. I'm not worthy. I'm a kfat peh. All kinds of back and forth. Till it gets to a head. Vayomer bi Hashem tishlach nabi atishlach vayichar af Hashem. God angry. Vayomer halo Aaron achicha halevi. Yadata ki daber yadaber. You have a speech impediment. Aaron knows how to speak. He will speak for you. V'gaminehu yotze likratecha. He's coming out to meet you. And then it adds three words that seem to be completely irrelevant to the discussion. V'ra'acha v'samach belibo. He's going to see you and he's going to be happy. God answered a question that Moshe didn't have. That wasn't relevant. Ooh, why is that relevant to the discussion? Says the Medrash, Savur atashi me'akev Moshe leilech eino kein ela kimechabe la'aron. You know what Moshe's problem was? Moshe says, wait a minute. Achelo amarati haya Aaron achi mitnabelem. Who's taking care of the Jewish people for all these years that I'm hiding out in the desert? Aaron is taking care of the Jewish people while I'm hiding out in the desert. I'm going to come prancing in and taking over for him. He's going to be very distressed. It's going to cause him great distress. So I can't do it. So Moshe Rabbeinu is refusing to be the leader because by being the leader, he's going to impact negatively on Aaron's feelings. No, one could have said, Aaron has a problem, let him get a life. God's telling you, go, go. It's Aaron's problem. No. Moshe's not ready to do it. If it's going to make Aaron feel bad, he doesn't want to become the leader. Imagine how many leaders become leaders by trampling and destroying other people along the way. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't even want to make Aaron feel bad. And in fact, that's why God's response was, Mashata savurshu meitzar, Lo kein ela samach. Don't worry, he will be happy. You see from God's response that Moshe was correct. That in fact, had it been disturbing to Aaron, maybe Moshe's refusal would have been good. A leader has to be sensitive to all the people around him, and he doesn't trample others to get power, to get leadership. Leadership is not about power. Leadership is about responsibility, about responding to the call, to the challenge of leadership. Well, it's almost like you have to be dragged into it. It's only because you have to do it. There's nobody else. But if I have to destroy somebody else to do it, then that's not Jewish leadership. Let's get to this week's parsha. So Moshe goes to God, and he says to God, You have to appoint somebody to take care of the flock. Asher yitzei lifnehem v'asher yavo lifnehem. He's going to go out in front of them and come in front of them. V'asher yotzi'em v'asher yivi'em. He's going to take them out, bring them in, and that we shouldn't be a flock with no shepherd. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, kach lecha et Yehoshua bin Nun, ish asher ruach bo, take Yehoshua, v'samachta yadcha alav, and he's going to be the leader. So there's a phrase here that appears twice, a strange phrase, that Rashi comments on, and it's one of the most important secrets of leadership, if you're going to be a leader, or if you're going to take on leaders. Yivkor Hashem Elokei HaRuchot, God, the God of Ruchot, Ruach. Not clear exactly what that means, but that phrase appears a second time when he says, "Kach Yehoshua bin Nun ish asher ruach bo." God is called Elokei Aruchot, and Yehoshua is said a person of ruach bo. Says Rashi, "Lama nemar." Why is this? Why is God called Elokei Aruchot? Amar lefanav ribono shel olam galui v'yadua lefanecha dato shel kol echad ve'echad. Basically, Moshe is saying to God, yeah, God, we know the Jewish people. We know there's two Jews and three opinions. How do you lead a nation like that? Every person has a different perspective. Every person has a different personality. You need a leader who can handle all the personalities. And in fact, when it says, Yehoshua bin Nun ish asher ruach bo, says Rashi, Kasher Sha'alta, that's exactly what you asked for. That's Yehoshua. Sheyuchal lahaloch kineched rucho shel kol echad ve'echad. Too often leaders want to mold the people into what the leader wants them to be. Okay? And he has a preconception of how everybody is supposed to be. A good conductor of an orchestra knows how to bring out the best in each different instrument and make sure that all the instruments are working together in harmony. The Jewish people are a complex orchestra, and the leader has to know how to deal with each person as they are and knows how to bring out the best in each person and enable them all to accomplish together for the mission. So that's an absolute imperative, that the leader has to be ish asher ruach bo. One last thing. When in the Machlokas of Korach that we read a few weeks ago, so one of the things that happened is Moshe got angry about Korach, and Vayichar leMoshe Mo'od Vayomer El Hashem Al Tefen El Min Chatam. Don't turn to their sacrifices. Then he says something that doesn't sound so relevant. Lo chamor echad mehem nasati, velo harioti et echad mehem. I never took one of their donkeys. I never did anything bad. And Rashi there brings that Moshe is saying that even when I traveled from Midian back to Egypt, I used my own personal donkeys. I didn't take public. I didn't use public money for the donkeys. What's the point here? Again, here we talk about a leader not looking for personal benefit. too often leaders are motivated by their own benefits. Again, if you're following the Israeli news over the last few years, we have many people in positions of power that are sitting in jail because they use their position of power for personal benefit. And a Jewish leader is in it for the welfare of the people and ensures that he has no personal benefit. One of the things that was just, the people who didn't grow up in the environment of Torah could not believe the Reb Leib Shteyman Zatzal, passed away recently when he was the gadol of the Litvish community in Israel and really in the world. So a couple of things they noticed is, first of all, he lived in an unbelievably simple environment: a bed, a table, a chair. That was it. Right? And you know, he's the leader. He controls things that happen on his word as much or much more than the prime minister or a president. And he lived simply compared to how most leaders expect to live. And millions and millions and millions of dollars, millions and millions of charity dollars in cash passed through his hands. And not $1 was missing. Not $1 went for him. He kept living in his little simple environment because the leadership is not about me and it's not about benefiting me. It's lo chamor echad mehem lakachti. Even according to Rashi, when Moshe had the right to use public money for it, no, he doesn't want to have any implication that he's doing this for his own benefit. The leader has to be solely devoted to the welfare of the people and have no personal agenda. Responsibility, vision, commitment, integrity, caring, sensitivity to the individuality of all the people they're leading. These are the qualities of a Jewish leader. When you are choosing your leaders, this is what you have to demand. When you are becoming Jewish leaders, whether it's your own family, or hopefully each of you is going to play a leadership role in your communities, make sure that you embody all of these qualities that is really the authentic recipe for Jewish leadership: to be caring, to be big. Vayigdal Moshe. You have to go out and really care about the people. You have to really connect to the people. And you have to maintain that integrity and that vision and that high ethical standard. That's what we demand of our Jewish leaders, and that's what you guys have to expect and what you have to deliver also.